friends to be on our team. I did, Cam said in a hushed voice. And nobody showed. I guess they were too busy.
Or too scared, said Freedom.
Or too smart, said Tommy.
Hey, I'm smart, said Ed. Anyone need help with your homework? Chemistry's my specialty, but I'm also good at bioelectronics, quantum physics, and complex, Tommy interrupted and said, how about human anatomy? We'll probably need somebody to reattach our limbs after the game. If I remembered correctly from the last time I played dodgeball as a kid, the rules were simple. You throw balls at kids on the other team, and if you hit them with the ball, they're out. But if they catch the ball that you throw, you're out. The game ends when all kids on one side are out. Cam tried to reassure his teammates. Look, I'll tell Billy that our whole team didn't show and that we need to reschedule. It's all good. Cam walked over to Billy, who stood nearly a head taller than him. Hey, Billy, you can see we're shorthanded here. Nah, you're just short, said Billy as his fellow bullies laughed. I'm serious, Cam said. We only have four players, so we're going to have to reschedule.
Nice try, doofus, said Billy. Just because I'm prepared and you're not doesn't mean I'm letting you forfeit. Game on!
No way, Cam said firmly. I mean, I'm all for competing against you, Billy, but winning like this doesn't prove anything.
Billy stared at Cam and smirked. All right, he said. We'll consider today's game a first-round game. Now everybody will get to see you lose twice. Got it? He exclaimed as he poked his finger into Cam's shoulder blade. If you lose this round, your team has to do 20 laps around the park no matter how long it takes.
Got it, Cam said.
He turned around and walked across the center line. When he returned, he told his team what Billy agreed to and that this first game was only a scrimmage. The news did not put any smiles on his teammates' faces. Balls were lined up in the middle of the field. Good luck, I said, giving them a thumbs up. I tried to hide my real feelings that this was not going to end well. I jogged to the side of the field with the other spectators. Cam ran over to me and said, any last-minute bit of advice, coach? You have a small team, but you have a bigger heart. Don't forget that, I said. Remember, win or lose, I am proud of you all. Both teams took their positions 10 yards from either side of the center line.
What exactly are we supposed to do? What's our objective? Ed asked.
And before Cam could explain, a whistle sounded. Cam, Tommy, and Freedom bolted toward the center to grab a rubber ball. Billy and his team did the same thing. Ed looked on in fascination, like he was watching the splitting of an atom. It happened so fast, I'm not even sure which side threw the first ball. Suddenly, a flurry of blurs darted across the center line, mostly coming from Billy's team. Ed was smart enough to realize that standing there was not to his advantage. He quickly ran forward and backward, then to his left and then to his right. I wasn't sure if he had to go to the bathroom or if he was warming up to do the hokey-pokey. In the end, it didn't really matter because Ed never saw the melon-sized meteor hurtling toward his face. It slammed into the side of his head and sent his cheeks jiggling and his body wiggling until the vibration slowed and he finally fell backward onto a bed of grass. Tommy and Cam had already thrown their balls and were now jumping and dodging the best they could. Freedom deflected a ball with her own and dodged another before she threw her ball at a red-shirted player. The field was just too big, and Billy's team had too many players, and they were too spread out.
Fire! Yelled Billy as a volley of shots sailed over the line toward Cam, Tommy, and Freedom.
The number of incoming balls was just too high. Tommy got hit in the shoulder as he tried to jump over a low-flying ball. Freedom spun sideways, only to be hit by two balls coming from opposite directions. Cam somersaulted to the side and inadvertently stepped out of bounds. He was automatically disqualified. I looked on from the sidelines. The game was over almost as soon as it began. No matter how much I hoped they would win, the odds were just too stacked against them.
Chin up, I yelled at the team. You'll get them next time.
Yeah, don't remind us, mumbled Cam.
Yeah, it might be easier if we took on a herd of stampeding elephants, replied Freedom as she hobbled off the field.
Billy beat his chest like a gorilla and then pointed at the Fear the Billy lettering. His team gave each other high fives and fist bumps. They towered over Cam's team. Game was over. Some of the crowd clapped and whistled. Billy yelled over to Cam, "Time to do some laps." Billy pointed to a teammate and said, "My friend here is going to make sure you do all 20. I'll hear about it if you don't. See you tomorrow, losers." And he walked off the field with the rest of his gloating team. Cam punched his hand with his fist. He was clearly frustrated. "Now look, you may have lost this battle, but you haven't lost the war," I said. "Remember the Battle of Lexington? What you didn't see during your last visit was that the Americans didn't give up after their devastating loss. Now, my advice is for you all to go home and get some rest. Tomorrow we'll learn about the Battle of Concord. Might give you some ideas on how to beat your bully opponent." "We don't stand a chance," Cam said. "Why even bother?" "Because the bullies can't always win," Freedom said. "Sometimes the underdogs win. Next time that'll be us." Tommy added, "Yeah, we just need to beat them at their own game. We gotta figure a way." I chimed in, trying to cheer him up. "And don't forget what Paul Revere said. Never give up, even if the odds are stacked against you. Now let's meet at Manchester Middle School tomorrow and get planning." The three students reluctantly nodded. It was time to do some laps. 5 yards away in the grass, Ed sat up from where he was lying and groggily asked, "Did we win?" The next morning, Freedom, Cam, and Tommy arrived at Manchester Middle School at 10 o'clock. They each chose desks in the front row and slumped into their chairs. Cam looked particularly discouraged. "Good morning," I said. "Why all the sour faces?" "Don't you remember we got spanked yesterday?" Cam asked. "I mean, it was almost as bad as watching the battle. Plus, our legs are falling off from all the running." "We just need a new plan," Freedom said positively. "Well, you came to the right place," I said, beaming. The sound of a desk sliding against the classroom floor got my attention. I turned to see Liberty trying to sit like the other kids and fit into a desk. Cam and Tommy looked at each other and nearly burst out laughing. "Liberty, you're not going to fit into that desk," I said. "It's impossible." "Fine," Liberty harumphed. "Then I'll just sit on top of it." Liberty positioned his rump in front of the small desk and then lowered his back legs. Instantly, Liberty flattened the desk like a car crusher at a junkyard. Freedom jumped out of her desk and rushed over to help Liberty. As soon as Cam and Tommy realized that Liberty wasn't hurt, they both started laughing hysterically. "How about we all pretend that didn't happen?" Liberty said, blushing. Cam said, "Hey, Liberty, you know you're not supposed to bring food into class." "Food?" Liberty said, perking up. I don't see any food." "I do," said Cam. "That desk is as flat as a pancake." The boys laughed so hard they nearly fell over. "Just ignore them, Liberty," said Freedom. "You know what they say. What goes around comes around." "All right, enough of this horseplay," I said. "I'm glad Liberty was able to cheer you up, but we have a lot to discuss today. Now, first things first. Yesterday's dodgeball game with Billy's in the past. Yes, you were beaten badly, but moping about it isn't going to help you win. Your friend Ed has the right idea. I understand he bounced back quickly and is studying dodgeball techniques. He's determined to come better prepared for the next game. What could you learn that'll help you win your next battle? That's why you're here this morning. Liberty, are you ready to time travel?" "You bet," said Liberty. "I am rested and ready to rumble to the Battle of Concord." "Wait a minute," Freedom said, worried. "I thought you said we wouldn't have to time travel." "Yeah. Won't the Battle of Concord be just as dangerous as the Battle of Lexington?" asked Tommy. "Actually, yes," I said. "And knowing the dangers, I think it's best that you stay here this morning. Liberty and I will be the only ones time jumping." "Oh, what are we going to do?" Freedom asked. "Yeah, you know, it's not very responsible for a teacher to leave his students without adult supervision," Cam teased.
Oh, yeah. I learned that one the hard way, Tommy said.
I'm sorry about that again, Tommy. I shouldn't have left you. Anyway, that's the beauty of time travel, I said with a smile. You'll barely know we've been gone since we'll return within a second or two after we've left. Liberty and I will experience firsthand the Battle of Concord, and then we'll return and report the historical truth.
And you think that truth will help us win our next dodgeball game against Billy? Tommy asked.
I nodded. I want you to remember this. Smart people know American history, but the really sharp ones use it for their future success. History tells us that the Americans won the Battle of Concord, but we need to ask ourselves how that was possible if the British had a bigger army and were better prepared.
You really think we'll find a strategy to win? Cam asked, hopefully.
It's worth a jump, don't you think? I replied. They all nodded, and we quickly moved the desks, so there was a center aisle big enough for Liberty. I hoisted myself into Liberty's saddle and said, Liberty, we're headed for April 19th, 1775, Concord, Massachusetts. Liberty cleared his throat and said, you haven't paid for the trip yet?
Excuse me, I asked.
Liberty sighed. I said, you haven't paid for your trip yet. Price for a round-trip ticket to 1775 is 2 large carrots, or 1 large carrot and a juicy apple, or a cup of oats, or...
Okay, I get it, I cut in. I reached into Liberty's leather saddlebag and pulled out 1 large carrot and 1 fat apple.
Will this be enough?
Yes, Liberty smiled and said, and on behalf of all of us at Liberty's Getaway Time Travel Adventures, we hope you enjoy your trip.
I rolled my eyes and fed Liberty his payment. Freedom, Cam, and Tommy were all smiles as they watched from the side of the room.
Here we go, said Liberty as he swallowed his last bite.
Rush! Rush! Rushing to history! From out of nowhere, the time portal swirled in front of us. As the sparkling door grew large enough for Liberty to jump through, he rushed forward. We leapt into the middle of the portal. Suddenly, we found ourselves on a hill near a large wild apple tree overlooking a small valley. It was nearly springtime, but the trees had not fully unpacked their leaves, perhaps fearful of the coming events. It was cold, but birds were chirping. A smooth river ran deep and wide through the center of the valley far below. I was sure it was the Concord River. A wooden bridge, the famous Old North Bridge, spanned the watery depths. Homesteads could be seen on either side of the river, but the main town of Concord was clearly to the east, below and behind us. Smoke could be seen coming from the town, but I couldn't tell what was on fire. However, the most alarming sight was the redcoats. Their bright red jackets, white pants, black boots made the hairs on my arm stand up. The sound of those boots marching across the wooden planks of the bridge matched the rhythm of my own anxious heartbeat. The redcoats marched until they reached the opposite side from where we stood. Suddenly, a British officer shouted the command to stop. The order echoed off the hillside, and it sounded like the officer was standing right next to me. About 90 redcoats halted in unison. Some were still on the bridge, but most were nervously scanning the hillsides. A loud crunching noise came from Liberty's mouth. I wouldn't be surprised if the whole valley had heard it.
Liberty, shh! This is serious, I whispered firmly. What? What? Just eating an apple?
Very quietly, I might add. This is getting intense. It's like watching a 3D movie. I always munch on something when I'm at the movies. I mean, I'd rather have popcorn, but these apples will have to do. I wonder what those guys on the West Hill over there are going to do.
What other guys? I asked right before I noticed a group of men at the western hilltop facing the redcoats. They looked eastward toward the bridge. There were only about 40. No, wait, 60. I should say 100. 100. These had to be patriots.
I quickly snapped a picture of the growing army of Patriot soldiers who were coming up and over the hill, started moving toward the redcoats.
Seriously? Wow, these are really great seats, said Liberty, still munching. Standing behind this tall hedge, under this apple tree, it's a perfect hideout, and it's like we're on the 50-yard line at a football game.
I rolled my eyes and resumed counting the growing militia.
There had to be at least 400 men. I assumed they'd heard the bells and had come from all over Massachusetts, and they were still coming. They looked like the farmers in Lexington wearing mismatched clothing. Many wore brown clothing that blended into the hills, but the number of men wasn't the biggest surprise. They actually looked strategic in the way they worked together. Small groups walked slowly and methodically toward the old North Bridge, muskets and pistols ready, fearless, determined. Upon seeing the Americans approach, the redcoats realized that they were in a horrible position to fight. They quickly tried to scramble back to the eastern side of the bridge. At the same time, the Americans looked like they were starting a formation spreading out on higher ground. Certainly the Americans had the upper hand. The redcoats stood on and behind the wooden bridge that curved up and over the dark and ominous river. Liberty grabbed another apple from the tree and asked, "What are they doing?" "They're coming to fight the British soldiers on the bridge," I said. "They're angry about what happened to Lexington. They're coming to protect Concord. They are here to fight for freedom." "I hope you're getting great pictures for Cam and his team," Liberty said. "I think there's something here he could learn from. It might be useful for his next dodgeball game." Of course, Liberty was right. I quickly took out my phone, started taking pictures. "Look at the redcoats. They're squished onto the bridge," Liberty said. "That's not going to be very effective. How are they going to fight like that?" One patriot screamed, "Avenge Lexington, my boys! Avenge old Lexington!" And his words echoed through the valley, and suddenly the hundreds of patriots began charging toward the bridge. Even though Liberty and I were well hidden, I instinctively ducked down just to be sure. Crunch, 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 Liberty, trying to be quiet but failing. I ignored Liberty, and I picked out the best pictures I took with my camera. Even though Cam wouldn't see this until we got back to modern day, I sent him a text with a note. "Patriots are on Punkatasset Hill, about 300 yards from Redcoats on Old North Bridge. Note, Americans spread out, British close together on and behind bridge." "This is getting scary," Liberty said nervously. "I think the British are going to start shooting." The patriots steadfastly moved forward. I heard one patriot yell, "I'm not afraid to go, and I haven't a man who's afraid to go," and his words echoed through the morning air. Suddenly a shot rang out from the bridge. Instantly two patriots fell. "Fire! For God's sake, fellow soldiers, fire!" shouted an American, raising his weapon toward the British on the bridge. They were now but 50 yards apart. Shots rang out from both sides. The Concord River churned and rolled under the bridge, darkly reflecting the turmoil above. Smoke from the muskets was everywhere. The patriots continued to push toward the old North Bridge. "I think the patriots are winning," Liberty said excitedly. Sure enough, the British started to retreat, and the Americans began to cheer as they crossed the bridge. Against all odds, the American underdogs were in fact winning the Battle of Concord. "Liberty, I think we have the truth about what exactly happened here," I whispered. "Let's jump back to the future." With a deep breath and a small chomp, he said, "Rush, rush, rushing from history." As the time portal opened again, I felt like I was the white rabbit from Alice in Wonderland racing toward the rabbit hole. Because we were late, late, late for a very important date. We jumped through, and the sensation of falling was abruptly interrupted as we landed inside my classroom at Manchester Middle School. Freedom, Cam, and Tommy were still standing at the side of the room. "Well, at least you didn't come back with any bullet holes," Tommy said, smiling. "Ha ha," I said, dismounting from the saddle. "Pull up some desks and have a seat. We have lots to talk about." For the next 45 minutes, we discussed all the events that Liberty and I witnessed
at the Battle of Concord. Liberty wrote down critical facts on the chalkboard. Concord, patriots, did not retreat, not scared, courage, spread out, British stuck on Old North Bridge, British retreat, American victory, underdogs.
Got it. I know how we're going to take on Billy's team next round, Cam said.
Find 700 kids to take them on, Tommy said sarcastically.
No, not that. I think we need a change of scenery, Cam said.
What do you mean? Freedom asked.
Well, remember when we were in Lexington, the British were really organized and looked like a team, just like Billy's team. The Redcoats all wore the same uniforms. They had a system of fighting that worked best in a large space, like Lexington Green. The Patriots weren't ready for this, so when the Redcoats fired, they had no chance, Cam said.
So, we're like the Patriots, Tommy asked, and Billy's team is like the British?
I looked on quietly, impressed with their learning and strategizing.
Yep, exactly, Cam said, and he walked up to the blackboard. Now look at this. Here's Billy's team, and here we are. Last game, we got destroyed because Billy had a stronger team that was more organized. They spread out and tagged us all at once. They drew a circle on the board. Now look, if we put them all in a small space, we have a chance. Plus, we might be able to get a few more people, but we don't have much time.
It's still going to be tough, Tommy said.
Oh, you're right, Tommy. It's all about planning ahead, Cam said.
That's where you come in, Tommy. You'll be my Paul Revere, ready to spread the alarm and gather as many people as you can to fight with us.
Got it, Tommy said, flexing an arm.
Now, Freedom, I need your skills too, Cam said. You will be my Dr. Warren, the super planner, and we need an awesome plan.
Got it, Freedom said, standing up.
She started scratching down some notes furiously.
Now, all I know is we are not going to make the same mistake twice, Cam said. We may be the underdogs, but this time we are going to beat that bully.
I like the way you're thinking, said Tommy.
Yeah, I do too, said Freedom.
Me too, said Liberty. I do like dodgeball, Cam, I am, but I will not eat green eggs and ham. Seriously. Blick! First of all, what's up with the green food coloring? And second, eggs come from a chicken and ham comes from a pig, and they're both farm animals, which means they're practically cousins. I am not eating my cousin. Sheesh!
I tried to ignore Liberty's commentary. Said, sounds like you guys have the start of a good plan, but you are missing one vital component.
What's that? Tommy asked.
You need an upper hand, something that turns the battle for the underdog, some special secret sauce, I said.
I think I may have the secret sauce, Freedom said, looking at her notepad full of lines and scribbles.
What is it? Tommy asked.
Freedom cupped her hand over her mouth and whispered it to Tommy. His eyes went wide with doubt and a little bit of worry.
I don't think that'll work, Tommy said reluctantly.
What is it? Cam asked.
Tommy whispered in Cam's ear.
Cam looked doubtful as well.
I don't know. That seems like a long shot.
True, Freedom nodded, but if it did work, don't you think it'd be a game changer?
Probably, Cam said, unless it backfires.
Yeah, it could totally backfire, Tommy said.
I still think it's worth a try, Freedom said.
Is someone going to tell me what your secret strategy is? I asked curiously.
It's probably better if you don't know, Freedom said,
and both boys nodded in agreement.
Does this strategy of yours involve Liberty? I asked suspiciously, because if it does, I really better know.
Oh, am I part of a top secret mission? Liberty asked, jumping up and down like he had to go to the bathroom.
Actually, no, you're not, Freedom said. Both boys shook their heads, again confirming Freedom's reply.
Liberty frowned. I eyed them all suspiciously.
Very well, I said, smiling. I trust you know what you're doing.
And I really hoped they did.
Chapter 7. I had butterflies in my stomach as I entered the military base gym. The second round dodgeball game would start in a few minutes. Earlier that day, Cam had sent a message to Billy and insisted that the game be changed to the indoor court. "Even better," texted Billy. "I can't wait to see you bounce off the hardwood floors." Indeed, the floors felt especially hard as I walked along the sidelines to join Cam, Tommy, and Freedom. Four other student recruits that I didn't know stood with them. "Hey, I made us some uniforms," Freedom said, handing out blue T-shirts to the team. On the front of the shirt were the letters E-A-G-L-E-S. "Thank you, Freedom. These look awesome. Eagles is a cool name," Cam said. "I didn't have a lot of time, so they're not the best, but at least we have something that says we're a team. Mr. Revere paid for the T-shirts and the supplies," said Freedom. "Wow, thanks, Mr. Revere," cheered Cam and Tommy and the other kids. "That was the least I could do," I said, blushing. I figured if John Hancock could invest in the early American war effort, then I could invest in you. I winked. "Ma-ha-ha-ha! Those are the dorkiest shirts ever," Billy said, pacing across his side of the court. "Ha! We'll use them to mop up the floor after we win. You'll be wearing new loser shirts by then anyway." "I think you'd better worry about your own team, Billy," Cam said, walking straight up to the center line and looking up at him. Billy glared down at Cam and pushed him backward. "You have a big mouth for being such a small fry." Cam was unbelievably brave. The protective teacher in me wanted to run over and break it up before the game even started, but I restrained myself. Suddenly, I realized that Ed was missing. I searched the bleachers on either side of the court. There were even more spectators than last time, waiting for the game to start, but no sign of Ed. Where could he be? "Hey, Eagles, come over here. Gather round," Cam said, waving at his team on the sideline. "Huddle in. You too, Mr. Revere." As we all formed a tight circle, Cam said, "I want to thank all of you for coming. I know some of you might be nervous, but we can't let Billy see that. I mean, we may look like underdogs, but we're really the unstoppable Eagles," he said. Cam was maturing before my eyes. He took to the leadership role like Liberty to a carrot. "We got this," he said confidently. "Let's go win." The other kids looked at Cam with wide eyes, hanging on every word he said. They all put their hands in the middle, lifted them, and yelled, "Go, Eagles!" I stood close to the sidelines. There were a lot of kids in the bleachers, cheering. Some were pointing at my outfit, probably thinking I was the official mascot. I wished I was wearing a T-shirt that said, "Fear the Revere." Freedom asked, "Have you seen Ed? I'm getting nervous. We need everyone to make our plan work." "He's in the bathroom," Tommy said. "He's getting dressed." "Well, what could possibly take him so long?" Freedom complained, wringing her hands. "He just has to put on the T-shirt I made for him." A bright green flash caught the corner of my eye. I looked over across the gym court to see Ed on the opposite side. "And what's he wearing?" I thought to myself. Well, I didn't want to laugh, but he looked absolutely hysterical. Thank goodness Liberty was at the horse spa, or he'd be on the floor right now rolling on his back with laughter. Ed came bounding over to our sideline, very much like little Liberty. He was wearing shiny green knee pads and large elbow pads. He wore a bicycle helmet strapped to his head and welding glasses over his eyes. His sneakers squeaked with every step. "Ha ha! Who's the green blob?" Billy doubled over laughing. "Oh, I get it. You tried to recruit a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, but all you got was a Teenage Mutant Brussels Sprout." His team buckled over, laughing and pointing at Ed. Cam, very admirably, didn't skip a beat and waved Ed into the huddle. "Don't touch me! These green sweats are armed and ready," Ed called out. "If you say so," said Tommy, confused. "Nice helmet," said Cam, winking. "Okay, seriously. I'm really glad you made it, Ed. It's going to take all we've got to defeat these bullies. Does everyone know what to do?" "I do," said Ed, with enough enthusiasm for the entire team. "I studied all night." Tommy rolled his eyes and was about to pat Ed on the shoulder, but Ed slipped away just in time.
I told you! No touchy!
Unless you want to stick with me for the rest of the game. Cam started giving out instructions.
Okay. Freedom, I need you to take the back left position. You four spread out. Ed, take the center. Tommy, I need you to roam behind Ed like a quarterback, and don't get hit. Now, as soon as the whistle blows, we'll take our positions.
Hey, Freedom, what about the secret plan? Is that still going to happen?
Freedom turned from Cam to Tommy and asked, did you do your part?
Tommy sighed and nodded. Yes, but I hope I don't regret it.
Cam looked at his watch. Okay, we're almost out of time. Without Freedom's plan, our chances of...
Cam was interrupted by the sound of music coming from somewhere outside the gym.
It got louder as the gym doors opened and the lyrics blasted, "This girl is on fire." A girl, wearing a red cheerleading outfit, walked in like she owned the place. She flipped her blonde ponytail from side to side as she made her way into the room. Her bright red fingernails matched her outfit perfectly. As she walked across the floor, my jaw dropped when I realized who it was. Elizabeth. She was followed by her perfectly peppy cheerleading squad. In a matter of seconds, Elizabeth walked over to Cam and his friends. She looked at Tommy and said, "Hi, Thomas. I hope you know how much I enjoyed receiving your phone call. You know, there aren't many things that would get me away from my summer beach house and onto this,
she scrunched her nose.
What do you call it?
It's a military base, Cam clarified.
Whatever,
Elizabeth said, completely disinterested. Elizabeth flipped her hair the other way and said, "By the way, those guards at the front gate need a total fashion makeover. Anyway, like I said, we're here to cheer."
She stepped closer to Tommy and whispered, "Don't forget our agreement. I do you a favor like cheering for your team, and you do me a favor."
Tommy squirmed a little and replied,
"But you haven't told me what the favor is."
"You'll know soon enough," Elizabeth teased.
"And by the way,"
she paused like she'd just realized where she was,
"where's your football team?"
"We're not playing football. We're playing dodgeball," Tommy said, "and this is my team."
He pointed to the seven players around him, including Ed. Elizabeth scanned the motley crew, but shielded her eyes when she saw Ed's outfit. And I thought Freedom dressed badly. Freedom rolled her eyes in disapproval.
"Seriously, your raggle-taggle clothes are so last year. Except for you, Mr. Revere, your clothes are so...
classical," I offered.
"No, that's not it," she replied. "They're so prehistoric."
I could only laugh at her attempt at an insult.
"Elizabeth," Cam interrupted, "I have no idea what raggle-taggle means, but we need you to cheer. And that means cheering for Freedom, too."
Elizabeth turned to her squad and said, "Girls, this is going to be harder than I thought." Suddenly, Billy was towering behind Elizabeth with his hands on his hips. Taunting, he asked,
"What's with all the prim poodles? Cameron and his little birdie players can't join you for a tea party because I'm having them for lunch, so beat it."
Elizabeth slowly turned to face Billy. It looked like laser beams might shoot from her eyes. The other cheerleaders stared menacingly at Billy as they stepped up behind their captain. Elizabeth looked up into his face and carefully said,
"I don't know who you are, but you'd better get your loser self over to the other side of the court, or this pack of poodles is going to eat you up and spit you out."
She hissed, shoving her red claws just inches from Billy's face. The sudden move startled Billy, and he stumbled backward.
"Whatever,"
he said, as he waved her off and walked back to his team. With puppy dog eyes, Ed bravely stepped up to Elizabeth and said,
"My name is Ed,
and you must be Athena, goddess of wisdom and war, and your beauty shines like a supernova." Before Elizabeth could reply, Cam gently pulled Ed behind him and smiled at Elizabeth. Cam said, "Thanks for coming. You are a big help."
I know, she replied. She looked over at Billy's team. I sure hope you have a game plan, because this could get ugly real fast.
The referee blew his whistle, and the kids ran to their places on the court.
Now, don't forget, stay focused, no fear, remember the plan, Cam said.
I was nervous for Cam and his team. Would their plan beat Billy's teamwork?
I gave Cam a thumbs up right before the whistle blew again. The narrow court didn't give Billy's team much room to maneuver. He had too many players racing forward. They bumped into each other as they scrambled to get a ball. Cam's team, with fewer players, was faster and snatched their balls first. A player from Billy's team fired his ball across the center line. It hit one of Cam's friends on the shin before he could turn around to throw his own ball. Billy's team was all smiles.
Fire! Cam shouted. In unison, seven balls hurtled toward Billy's team. The smaller court made it difficult for Billy's crowded team to dodge the incoming balls. It was just like the old North Bridge at the Battle of Concord. Too many soldiers and not enough room to do anything. Several of Billy's players were hit and knocked out of the game. Cam's strategy was working. Back and forth, balls flew across the center line. Billy had lost half his players and was no longer smiling. In fact, he wiped his brow as he counted who was left on his team. On the Eagles, only Cam, Tommy, Freedom, Ed, and one younger boy remained. Billy shouted to his team, "Fire on the green blob!" Three members of Billy's team threw their balls at the same time. They were targeting Ed. He was a sitting duck. No way could he avoid the rapid fire and stop all of those balls from beaming him. To my surprise, the balls didn't hit him and bounce off. They stuck to him like glue. Two balls stuck to one side and one to the other.
"Genius!" I shouted, suddenly self-conscious about how loud my voice was. I realized this was all part of the plan. The silly green suit wasn't so silly after all.
Ed spun around once, then twice, and finally released the rubber ball as it streaked forward with a wicked spin. It curved into an unsuspecting player and bounced off to hit a second, and then a third before finally hitting the floor. Elizabeth's cheerleaders shouted wildly, overpowering the crowd. You could tell by the faces on Billy's team that they were starting to panic.
"Come on, guys," Cam yelled. "We can do this. Let's go."
Balls continued to fly back and forth in a haze. Finally, it came down to two against two. Billy and another big kid on one side, Cam and big green Ed on the other.
"Come on, Cam! Come on, Ed!" Freedom yelled from the sidelines.
Billy sent a ball blazing across the center line toward Ed, who already had about three or four balls stuck to his green suit. The ball was too low to stick to Ed and ricocheted off his right shoe toward the sideline. Elizabeth shouted in a high-pitched yell.
"You did not just do that!"
She sneered, glaring across the court at Billy. I leaned toward Freedom and said, "Wow, I think Elizabeth is genuinely upset that Billy hit Ed with the ball." Freedom looked at me like I was from some other planet.
"She's not mad about that. She's ticked off because the ball that Billy threw just broke one of her nails."
Elizabeth threw down her pom-poms and stepped onto the court as Ed waddled off to the sideline.
"You can't add players!" Billy shouted.
Cam brightened.
"I didn't. She's our backup, just like in the Battle of Concord."
Billy gave a confused look. Flustered, he said, "But I don't have any backup." Cam gave the biggest grin I'd ever seen and said, "Too bad. You should have planned for that." He gave me a quick glance and a quicker thumbs up. Dr. Warren would be proud, I thought. Elizabeth snapped her fingers, and her entire squad of cheerleaders walked onto the court and picked up the remaining rubber balls. This definitely got Billy's attention. Cam noted,
"Looks like your best choice is to retreat."
Beads of sweat rolled from Billy's forehead. He stared at the team of fresh Eagles
Tommy pulled on my jacket and whispered, "Mr. Revere, this is just like the Battle of Concord, right? Just like Ham said. Didn't the Americans get fresh soldiers? And didn't the Redcoats retreat out of the city?"
I nodded. "That's right. If Billy's smart, he'll accept Cam's offer." Billy sneered and called to Cam, "This isn't over. Your team is still lame."
He turned to his dejected players and said, "Let's get out of here." All the red shirts followed him outside. As he walked away, Elizabeth chucked her ball at Billy, and it hit him in the back of the head. He whipped around, ready to pound someone into the ground. When he saw it was Elizabeth, she shouted, "That's for breaking my nail!"
"Have fun wearing the loser shirts!" Tommy shouted with a wide grin.
Billy grunted and stormed out of the building. Cheers erupted throughout the bleachers. I raced into center court as if my team had just won the Super Bowl. I was immensely proud of their courage and planning and creativity and unity. And Cam's leadership almost brought a tear to my eye. Instead, I gave all of the Eagles a high five and said, "Congratulations, guys. You looked amazing out there. You should be very proud of yourselves."
"Did you see how Ed got all the ball stuck to him and then spun and knocked out three players in a single shot?"
Freedom asked. "Absolutely. That was the best part. And the cheering from Elizabeth and her cheer squad got our team fired up," Cam said.
"Yeah, but Cam is the real hero," said Tommy. "He believed in us from the very start."
"I couldn't have done it without everyone doing their part," said Cam.
"And now look at us. We started out as the underdogs, but now we're the top dogs." And he gave a huge smile as he high-fived Tommy.
Where's Elizabeth? Asked Cam.
"Oh, she took off as soon as the game ended," said Freedom. "I overheard her say that the gym was starting to smell like a pair of smelly socks."
"Hey, great idea," said Tommy. "I'll start wearing stinky socks to school. Maybe that'll send her a message."
"I'm afraid that will send everyone a message," I joked. The team gathered their bags and headed for the door. As we all exited the gym, I started to think about our next adventure. I couldn't help it. History was calling to me. I blurted out, "Freedom, I want you to know that I was really impressed with your innovative secret plan, inviting Elizabeth and her cheerleaders and saving them as backup players. That was genius. Dr. Warren would be proud."
"Thanks, Mr. Revere," said Freedom, blushing.
"And Tommy, I was very impressed by your bravery and willingness to sacrifice one for the team. You remind me of Paul Revere." "Oh, and good luck with whatever favor you're doing for Elizabeth," I said with a smirk.
"Yeah, you guys all owe me," said Tommy.
"And Cam, I was especially impressed with your leadership during the game. In fact, you remind me of George Washington."
"Huh?" Cam looked at me a bit confused.
"I do? You absolutely do. So much so, I think we should visit him. I have a feeling you would really like getting to know George Washington better."
"Oh, sure. I'm up for it. I want to find out what the first president of the United States has in common with me," Cam laughed.
"You both probably snore," Freedom teased.
"Oops, I almost forgot," said Tommy abruptly. "I told Ed I'd help him out of his green alien outfit. I bet he's still in the locker room waiting for me. I gotta run. I'll see you guys later." And he jogged back to the gym.
You need any help?" I called after Tommy.
No, that's okay. My dad's coming to pick me up. In fact, I see his car pulling up now. I'll make sure Ed gets home. I'll see ya," Tommy said with a wave.
Cam's face went from smiling ear to ear to a bit of a frown. For a second, I wondered why, and then I realized that Tommy had just mentioned his dad.
"You know, Cam, your dad will be very happy to hear how well you did today. I mean, he'll be very proud of you, just like I am." I patted Cam on the back. He didn't say anything, but I could tell he wished his dad had been there to see his win.
"I know your mom is mighty proud. If she didn't have to take your sister to the dentist, you know she would have been here. She asked me to take lots of video."
Thank you. Yeah, I know, Cam said. His tone was softer than before. I walked with Cam back to the cafeteria and let him know that I would see him tomorrow morning at 9 at Manchester Middle School.
Congratulations again. You did awesome, I said, giving one last high five.
The next morning, Liberty spent most of the ride to the school telling me about his day at the horse spa. I was half listening, half thinking about what I would say to George Washington. And then this woman named Helga came in and gave me a massage, said Liberty. Wow, she really knows her pressure points. Anyway, she only works part-time at the spa, and the rest of the time she's training to compete in a hammer-throwing competition. I'm just saying, I am totally stress-free and ready to time jump. Seriously, I'm so loosey-goosey I could jump to the Jurassic period. We soon arrived at Manchester Middle School, where Cam and Freedom were waiting for us on the grass near the track, our usual meeting spot.
Good morning, Mr. Revere and Liberty, Freedom said excitedly.
Good morning. Where's Tommy? I asked.
Oh, let me guess. He slept in.
Nope, said Cam. He has to spend the day with Elizabeth.
Yeah, said Freedom. He's super bummed. Elizabeth is redeeming her favor today.
What flavor? Asked Liberty curiously. My favorite flavor is asparagus. But, you know, I also like pumpkin and cloves. I want to redeem a flavor, too.
Not a flavor, Freedom corrected. A favor.
Yeah, Cam said. He owes Elizabeth a favor. And she asked him to make a picture album for her and fill it with pictures of himself.
Well, that's a little creepy, said Liberty.
Freedom added,
I think she just likes to torture him because she knows an album is the last thing Tommy would like to do ever.
Well, I'm glad he's sticking to his agreement. Good for him, I said.
So are we really going to visit George Washington? Asked Cam with a big grin.
Absolutely, I said. But first, I want to test your memories. Remember where we left off the last time the two of you went back in time?
Freedom thought for a moment and answered.
We met Dr. Warren, and Cam almost got cut in the arm. And a boy came in and told some spy news, so Dr. Warren set in motion his big plan for Team America, like sending Paul Revere to tell everyone in the countryside to get ready.
Exactly right. Spot on, I said.
And what was Paul Revere telling everyone in the countryside to get ready for?
Get ready for breakfast or lunch or dinner, said Liberty. I love when I hear those words.
I grabbed an apple from Liberty's saddlebag as Cam answered. When the British soldiers started to move, Paul Revere rode to warn everyone to get ready for a British invasion.
All right, smarty pants, said Liberty as he chewed his apple. Bonus question. Why were there two lanterns hanging in the Old North Church?
So the people on the other side of the river could get ready to defend themselves, stated Freedom confidently.
Yeah, one lit lantern if the British were leaving Boston through Boston Neck, and two lit lanterns if they were leaving Boston by sea over the Charles River, beamed Cam. We got this, Liberty. You can't stump us. We were there.
How many kids can say that? I wondered.
Exactly right, I said, pulling out a map of Boston and surrounding areas of Massachusetts. I pointed to the map and asked, who can find Charlestown?
I can. Right there, Freedom said, pointing.
Correct. We went from Dr. Warren's house in Boston here, and then across the Charles River to Charlestown here. Then Cam and Tommy rode Little Liberty up here toward Lexington, I said, pointing to spots on the map. This is where we saw the Battle of Lexington.
I remember that battle, said Cam somberly. The Americans lost in that big field.
Just like we lost our first dodgeball game, said Freedom.
I had it, but America won the very next battle in Concord.
Oh, yeah. You and Liberty time jumped to the Battle of Concord, right?
That's where we won and forced the British to retreat all the way to Boston, said Cam.
Just like Billy's team during the dodgeball game, Freedom said. Exactly right, I said. And today, we are going to Philadelphia. You can't see it on this map, but it's southwest of Boston. We are going to meet up with George Washington right after he was appointed at the Second Continental Congress as Commander-in-Chief of the new Patriot Army.
Does it have a drive-through? Liberty asked.
The Congress? No, I said with eyebrow raised, not even sure what Liberty was talking about. But I do want you to drive through time and find General Washington in Philadelphia. You might want to check around the stables near the State House. He'd love to be near his horses.
I knew there was a reason I liked that man, said Liberty.
I grabbed the colonial clothes out of Liberty's saddle, and the kids slipped them over their modern-day clothes. Soon they looked the part, and no one would ever know they were from the 21st century. When Freedom and Cam were on Liberty's back, I said, we're headed to Philadelphia, June 14th, 1775. Eagerly, Liberty called out, rush, rush, rushing to history. The swirling time door opened out of thin air. We raced forward and jumped through the center. Instantly, we were clearly in a different time and place. The stables were filled with hay and smelled of wood and horses. Saddles lined the walls and leather bridles hung from pegs on the wall. Liberty's uncanny ability to track down exceptional Americans did not disappoint. As we turned a corner to one of the stables, we saw a man feeding a handful of hay to one of the horses. "Is that George Washington?" Cam asked. The man was tall, broad shoulders, and looked to be in his 40s. He wore a white linen shirt with a cream vest and a navy blue jacket with golden tassels on each shoulder. He wore tall black leather boots that reached just below his knee, and a sheathed sword hung from the side of his hip. "I think so, Cam. This is really exciting," I whispered. George Washington smiled and greeted us. "I feel like we've met before," he said. "Yes, we have," I replied, "at the First Continental Congress. We ate meat pies with your fellow patriots, Patrick Henry, John Adams, and Samuel Adams." "Ah, yes," said Washington. "Rush Revere, is it? I could never forget your beautiful horse." Washington pulled out another handful of hay from a nearby bucket and fed it to Liberty. "That's right," I said, smiling, delighted to know he remembered us. "And these are two more of my students, Cameron and Freedom." "A pleasure," George Washington said. At first, he seemed to be a man of few words. Yet as Cam showed an interest, he started to say more. "Come and sit with me," said Washington as he led us to a nearby bench. He sat down and pulled a map from his coat pocket. When Cam and Freedom were sitting beside him on either side, he asked, "Do you like maps?" Cam and Freedom nodded enthusiastically. "So do I," said Washington. He unfolded the map until it covered his lap. The creased parchment was a map of New England. There were notes and names and markings all around the edges written in ink. Washington looked at both kids and said, "I often think late at night about this war. In the morning, I write those thoughts down." "Like, what kinds of thoughts do you think about?" Cam asked. Washington smiled. "All sorts of things, Cameron. I think about how to best prepare our army. I know that we do not have as many soldiers as the king does. I know that our soldiers are not as prepared or as organized. I know we don't have the same funding, and we lack the weapons and gunpowder. But I believe there are solutions for those problems. I just have to think long and hard about what they are." Eagerly, Cam said, "No, I know what you mean about thinking long and hard. I was preparing for this dodgeball game," and Washington interrupted. "Dodgeball? I have not heard of this." Cam replied, "Oh, it's this new game that kids are playing now." "Yeah," Freedom said, "it's really, really new." Cam smiled and said, "I planned and thought about how to beat this really strong team, and it kept me up for a lot of nights. I couldn't sleep at all, but we finally figured it out." George Washington nodded slowly and intently asked, "And did you beat this strong opponent?"
"Yeah, we did. The planning worked," replied Cam, as Freedom nodded vigorously.
Cam added, "It really pays to think things through. I'm sure you'll receive the answers you need to your toughest problems." Washington softly laughed and said, "Thank you, Cameron. Your faith gives me confidence."
"It's a real honor to meet you, Mr. President," Cam said, suddenly realizing that George Washington doesn't become President of the United States till years later. Freedom quickly looked at me to see if I noticed Cam's blunder. Perplexed, Washington asked, "Did you say Mr. President?"
"Well, I suppose I am the President of the Army, but the official title that Congress has given me is Commander-in-Chief of the Continental Army." Of course, at this time in history, George Washington didn't know that he would one day be the President of the United States of America. He was a man of great humility, and now he was in charge of the entire Continental Army, more than 13,000 men, the new American Army.
"I really like the title Commander-in-Chief. It all sounds really important," Freedom offered.
"Thank you, Freedom," Washington said. "But a name and title like President or Commander or General is not nearly as important as doing what needs to be done to accomplish this country's greatest mission. I want to do the best I can to fight for